Mick, the National Rock Review, hanging out with Nick Morocco, the Twistin' Tarantulas. We're here to talk about your new album, The Subtle, Sophisticated Sounds of the Twistin' Tarantulas.
Indeed. Thank you.
How's it going? So when can we expect a new album? You guys just got done recording.
Yes. We just got the CDs in today. So as far as I know, it'll be available next week.
Where can we find the CDs?
It's going to be online at twistintarantulas.com. It'll also be available via the Facebook page, which I believe is facebook.com/thetwistintarantulas. And all available at all the upcoming shows that we have throughout the month of March, which are all being treated like different CD release parties because they're all over the Midwest. So,
any chance for a drone delivery?
What's that?
Any chance for a drone delivery?
I don't know. I maybe that would be cool, right? Be personal. Invade your personal space at least.
So you guys had a series of shows before you started recording the new album, including one at the Hopcat Humor Room downtown at Hopcat, the new Hopcat location.
Yes.
How was that?
Hopcat's great. With all the shows, actually, our back was really against the wall with doing this record. We did, we played 7 shows and rehearsed 5 times in a 2-week period to get this record done. And it was through the holidays, too. It was from basically December 20th to January 5th is when we did the bulk of the work of just getting the songs organized and playing and such. So the pressure was definitely on. And Hopcat show was on New Year's Eve. It was a big one. We played with the High Views, who are a great band. And, yeah, the room was great. And we're going back there for the CD release party, which is March 21st. We'll be back at the Hopcat. So, yeah, great club, great room, great vibe. Love that place.
Well, I spoke with Pete a couple months ago before you guys came up here to record, and he said you guys were looking for a vacant storefront to rehearse in and record. Where did you guys end up finally recording?
We actually ended up rehearsing at the Detroit School of Rock and Pop, which is in Royal Oak. They were super helpful to us, gave us all kinds of crazy hours to work around their schedule and ours, you know, lazy musicians who don't get up until 2 in the afternoon. We were able to go in there on a Sunday when they were normally closed, and they took care of us, so we're appreciative of that. And in terms of recording, we went to the Loft in Saline and worked with the Paddling Brothers that are in Sponge. They did the last Ted Nugent record. They've done a bulk of the Sponge records, if not all of them. Loft's out in Saline. It's a great, great place. And that's actually where Pete recorded the first Twistin' Tarantulas record back in 1996. So it was kind of like going back to the where it all started type thing.
Now, Twistin' Tarantulas have an international following, international success. You guys have never had a label, so to speak. You pushed hard, you worked hard, and your name is out there and recognized worldwide. So what is the anticipation for this new album, the feedback you've been getting from the fans?
You know, we put a teaser clip out on the Facebook page of a minute of the instrumental Flight of the Super Bee and the first verse and chorus of Stage Diving Fat Kid. And the response has just been great, you know, people sharing it and playing it and, you know, all over the place. You know, we put it up through Reverb Nation, and within 24 hours it had been played, you know, 500 times. So that's a big deal in today's, I don't want to say market, but just idea set almost, you know, because you don't hold people's attention as well as you used to. People in the 70s, you would go buy a 45 or you'd go buy a record and you'd be excited about it. That doesn't happen so much now. So and people all over the place are excited about it. You know, I see comments on the Facebook page of, you know, when are you coming back to Green Bay? When are you coming to Milwaukee? When are you coming to Vegas? When are you coming to Seattle? You know, so it's really the first band I've ever been a part of that that has that kind of pull, you know, where people all over the country, if not all over the world, have something to say and want to see you and want to order the CD. You know, when we posted about it and posted the artwork, the first guy to send us a message about buying one was in Greece, which, you know, when you think about the kind of music we do, your first thought isn't that they would love it in Greece, you know. So it's cool. It's cool that it has that sort of worldwide reach to it and that broad interest.
know, I spoke with Pete before, and he had mentioned, you know, asked him, hey, have you ever gone on YouTube and looked up old live videos of your band or anything like that? And he had mentioned he saw a YouTube live performance when they played in Alaska once.
Yeah. So. That was before me, but there's footage out there that's pretty interesting. Pete's had a lot of lineups. I mean, this band's been together with Pete at the helm for going on 22 years. So there's been a long cast of characters that have been in it. You know, this lineup with me and Carl Brady Chalk on guitar, we've really only been this lineup since the summer of this past year. But we've gotten, you know, I'm happy to say, more accomplished in the last 6 to 7 months than Pete's done with other lineups in 12 years, which was when the last record came out. So, it has its own following. I see footage posted from all over the place. I do a lot of the social media side of things, so I'm always the one that's searching that stuff out. Pete's definitely on the business end of stuff, so I'll see a clip and I'll ask him about it, and he won't really remember what I'm talking about, you know. But yeah, it's out there, man. He's led this band to a variety of different things over the years, and done it all on his own, like you mentioned. You know, he's never had label support, he's never had radio support. It's definitely been a grassroots thing, and Pete's the man when it comes to that. You know, he knows a guy that does something, you know, does everything. You know, he's got a guy that does his breaks, and he's got a guy that promotes his record. So he's just one of those guys, you know.
So how did you come to be involved with Twisted Tarantulas and Pete?
Pete had been coming into the guitar store I work at, or I own, and me and Pete had become friends over the years. I think I met Pete in 2009. I was about 19, and I knew who he was, and I knew of the band, but I wasn't familiar. And he gave me a copy of the third record, El Destroyo, which, in my personal opinion, is my favorite Twisted Tarantulas record, other than this new one. And you know, we just hit it off and kind of became friends. And you know, the Tarantulas really wasn't my wheelhouse, so to speak, but it came up that, you know, it was time for a change. The drummer they had just wasn't working out, and they were going to need somebody. And I jokingly said to Pete, coming up on a year ago now, I said, oh, well, why don't you give me a crack at it? And we kind of laughed about it. And then a couple days later, he sent me a text and was just like, hey, were you joking, or are you possibly interested? And I was like, no, I'm interested. And then we kept putting it off months and months because, you know, I had to audition for this band and, you know, get together with Carl, who I didn't know, and learn these songs. And it was definitely a challenge, but we got it, and it clicked. And my first gig, we went up to Canada, and we played at this place called the Voyager's Lodge in Batchewana Bay, Canada, which is pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And Pete jokingly says on stage now when he introduces me, Nick's first gig was in Batchewana Bay, and if you're wondering why they call it that, because after you've been there for about 2 hours, I bet you want to leave.
So. Let's talk about some of the songs on the album. The one that's been getting the most attention is Stage Diving Fat Kid.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to know the Stage Diving Fat Kid.
Yeah.
That guy follows you from show to show, yeah. It seems like. So how many costumes does that kid have, and who is he?
Well, as the lyrics say in the song, it's about the glory days of the hardcore punk scene in Detroit, which Pete was a part of. Pete played bass in the Almighty Lumberjacks of Death and Heresy, which are both legendary hardcore bands around here. And, you know, it's just about a guy that, you know, Pete would see at every show that would, he would wait for the perfect time, and he'd get on the stage and he'd jump on the crowd and he'd crush someone to death, as the song says, you know. And and it got to the point where they would just wait, you know, wait to see him. And Pete has said that, you know, you knew you were playing great and you knew the set was going over well when Stage Diving Fat Kid got on the stage to jump off the stage. But the song's definitely taken on a life of its own. You know, it hasn't been officially released yet, and Pete's been playing it for about a year, you know, a couple months before I was in the band. And even when I got in the band, we go to these places and people would be yelling to hear the song. They know it. And people just love it. You know, something about it. It's lighthearted, but it packs a big punch, you know. It's one of my favorite tunes to play for sure.
It's a definitely get up and go kind of song.
Yeah, right.
So did you have any input on the actual creation of the songs on this album, or was it all Pete and you just came in and played?
We all had input on it. We did it like a band did in the old days, whether it be Kiss or Deep Purple, any of those bands, you know. The three of us got into a room and, you know, we had ideas. You know, Pete had structures of the songs or what he thought they should go like, and played them for me and Carl, and we gave our input about, okay, well, what if we did this, what if we did that, etc. And, yeah, that's how, and we really had great natural chemistry, and we're able to hone this into something really, really good and concentrated, which, you know, as Pete said before, and I think Tarantula's fans have said, the other albums are a little bit all over the place. They don't focus on one thing. Pete's a really talented guy, so he can write a straight rockabilly song and he can write a metal tune because he's versatile. And, you know, this time we were able to hone in on what this lineup did best, which is, you know, hard rockin' tunes with the rockabilly roots in there, you know, but it's definitely heavier than what the Tarantulas, I think, are regularly known for. But, yeah, to answer your question, I keep going off. But to answer your question, yeah, we all had input on the songwriting. You know, I play drums, but I have a little bit of knowledge of guitar, so I was able to suggest a couple things. And Carl's amazing, so he was able to, he's been with Pete for, this is his second time in the band, and he's a young guy like me, and he really knows how to communicate with Pete, especially ideas, and that really came out in the studio. Carl came up with a lot of ideas in terms of overdubs that really helped the songs out, you know, little trick things with, you know, he's got a baritone guitar that he plays that just fatten the tunes up, stuff that people probably won't notice, but, you know, to us, we were like, wow, yeah, that really made that better. And, you know, Pete was great to work with. He took both of our inputs with a lot of weight to him. So I appreciated that, and it was a great experience.
Tell us a little bit about some perilous encounters that might have happened with Pete's bass at shows, because I know Pete is very protective of his bass, and there's been incidents where somebody might have tried to touch the bass
in
the past.
You know, I haven't had too much experience with that since I've been in the band. We've had a couple issues with people getting on the stage, and Pete hates that. I mean, we all hate that. Any musician hates that. Nobody wants you on the stage, because you're working, you're doing your job, you know, and if you're drunk and you climb on the stage and you start falling into stuff, you're causing problems, you know. So we've had some issues with that actually 3 or 4 times. But in terms of the bass, he is really protective of it. I mean, me and Carl aren't even allowed to carry it in or out of the bar. And we're in the band. So you can imagine the people that want to come up. You know, a lot of people come up and ask questions about it. He even says in the intro of Let's Go, when he's introducing the band and he introduces himself, he says, this thing's an upright bass, it's not a cello, you know, because people say, why are you playing a cello, you know? But I can tell you one time at the 20th anniversary concert, actually at the Magic Bag just behind us, this was long before we had talked about me being in the band, and I'm in the front row, and like I said, me and Pete have been friends for 5 years, and he was playing, and I reached up in the front, and I flicked one of his strings, and he called me out in front of the whole bar. Are you touching my fucking bass? Don't touch my bass, you know? He's protective of that thing. I mean, the thing's, it's a $5,000 instrument. It's delicate. It's definitely something to be protective of, but, yeah, there's been some moments about it where he freaks out. He protects it with his life, for sure.
Do you think he actually sleeps with it at night?
I know he has. You know, he's told us stories when sleeping in the, you know, he's got what's called a gig bag, a soft case for the bass. And he's actually slept in that thing before because it's, you know, 8 feet tall or whatever. And Pete's a big guy. But he's actually slept in that before, whether it be in the van or a hotel room. And, yeah, he definitely lives and breathes that upright, you know. and it shows, because I don't think anybody plays it like he does, you know.
Nick Morocco, thank you so much for your time
thank
tonight.
You.
We appreciate you hanging out. We're looking forward to the CD coming out. Well, it is out. You can buy it now, this week, coming up.
Yep.
So we're going to see you guys playing around Detroit, Toledo, Indiana.
Yep.
Some of the gigs coming up in the next month.
We got Autorama on March 7th and 8th. We play both days. Three sets on Saturday, two on Sunday. After that, we go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, Tip Top Deluxe. Day after, we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We play the Lyric Room. And weekend after that is Dirty Bird in Toledo, which is a great bar. We played there a few times. Great place. And then the following night is the big night with the Old Shattered Hand, great local band, playing with us for the CD release party at the Humor Room at the Hopcat. So that's what we got lined up, and then plenty of stuff coming up in the summer. We got tons of road dates and some other things in the works. So it's definitely going to pick up some steam from here, and I definitely urge everybody to check the record out. It's really, really good, and I'm not just saying that because I played on it.